Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country, and actually farmer's market country, and cooking outside country, and cooking at every corner and every under every leaf and around every stone. Today, we have a couple of nice new friends who love a good paella pan, and that's because they are paella. Welcome, Gerard and Sherry, to At the Table.
Thank you.
Gerard, we're going to start right away.
Sure.
I have seen your stuff before. I've tasted your food mm-hmm. before, but one of the reasons we're sitting here is because you've invited me to be a judge in a paella cook-off. And, you know, paella is a really long tradition of community kind of gathering around a big pan, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's the history of, you know, our beloved paella?
Well, there's many versions of it. There's romantic versions that's paella for her, all kinds of stuff. But I believe it was, it's originally a Moroccan dish.
Ah.
And I think after 300 years of occupation, when Spaniards finally chased them out, they left their pans behind and the Spaniards adopted it.
I love when that happens. Yeah, you know, if you scratch any tradition, you find three more behind it, don't you?
Right, exactly.
How did you fall in love with paella?
I spent a lot of time over in Spain in the wintertime, and I was doing backcountry ski trips, and we were going and camping out in the snow, and it was an easy meal to prepare, to bring all the stuff frozen and cook really good food in the backcountry, and I started doing that here, and it just took off like crazy.
You know, that's a funny kind of a thing, because people don't realize that they were... In the 80s, we learned that all the things that were natural preservatives were things we shouldn't eat. Salt,
right.
Sugar, fat. Smoke, right? All these things. No. It turns out they're better for you than a lot of the other chemicals that they've added. But the original preservative was freezing, wasn't it?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, the Russians froze their pelmeni, and in the middle of the winter in the Siberian misery that they lived, they would boil a pot of, I don't know, sometimes it was stone soup, right? It was
right,
water
exactly.
with a rock in it.
Yeah.
And they throw in these little frozen dumplings, and, you know, life was born. So what is, all right, I like the idea that there's a Moroccan background. It, you know, I'm hearing the tinkling of the souk, you know, right? You're having all this fun going on. But when it got to Spain and all the rest of it, when it got into your vernacular, what does it usually entail? What does it include? What's in that big old pan?
We do a lot of traditional ones. We do a lot of traditional seafood paella, Valenciana style paella.
Wait a second. Not everybody knows what that means. Valencia, is, you know, for us, that's an orange. What is a Valencia style paella?
Chicken, shrimp, mussels, clams, calamari, a broad mixture of things that goes into it. It's got something for everyone.
And how is it different from bouillabaisse?
How is it different? Well, it has rice in it for starters.
Okay.
So it's not a soupy dish at all. It's the parent of jambalaya.
It's the parent of jambalaya.
Mm-hmm.
That's a t-shirt. bring your jambalaya parent. That's definitely, Sherry's writing that down. She's going to sell that, right? Right. It's a parent of jambalaya. But it is, talk about that. I mean, because, and jambalaya, of course, it comes from kind of a Cajun tradition, mm-hmm. which are the French being coming down from Acadia in Canada down to New Orleans. And now you're telling me a Moroccan Spanish riff ends up with a Cajun grandfather. I mean, I think there's a lot of sleeping around.
I think, you know what, there's actually a lot of places have paella. I mean, paella is huge in the Philippines when the Spaniards were there.
Oh, right.
There's Spanish restaurants in the Philippines, paella restaurants.
All right, so it's kind of interesting because much of this area was settled by the Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in Sonoma County, and
yeah.
right, there's a mission, and there are olive trees, and
right.
there are grapes and figs and all
right.
that kind of good stuff, monastery-style cheeses. But somehow, when you started doing paella in Sonoma County, people crossed their eyes and went, wow, what's that?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you think that's about?
I don't know. I'm surprised it wasn't here before. It wasn't popular here before, but now it's wildly popular. It's unbelievable. It's going really, really well. It lends itself to Sonoma County because it's a communal dish for wineries, for all those kind of festivities and that kind of stuff. Having the access to all kinds of great foods in Sonoma County makes that a great dish to have here.
This sounds great. You know, after the 70s, people would say, what's the next croissant? You know
right.
what I mean? Right. And I always try to remind them that the croissants have been around a couple of hundred years. And so it's when we discover something that's been here for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's
yeah.
the next Starbucks? You know, I mean, it's And also, espresso is a couple hundred years old, right?
So for me, I liken it to when people got pizza for the first time. It's the same kind of thing, the same kind of wow factor, and just really simple, delicious food. And it's a crowd pleaser every time.
So I love that. It's hundreds of years of practice by other people that we discover like we started it.
Right.
Right. I love America. Sherry, you invited me to come in this. What is the Grand Fondo? Levi's, he's such a good guy. He's such a good cyclist. What is this whole event in Sonoma County all about?
Well, this event this year, actually, the Grand Fondo is now part of something called Sonoma Vita, which is a three-day festival on the square. It's going to celebrate the Grand Fondo, so Levi's ride that has, I think, three different
levels,
parts to it,
yes,
three different levels.
Yeah.
And it's actually become pretty famous around the world.
It's taken
off.
Well, you know, there's something about doing something healthy like riding a bike in someplace beautiful like Sonoma County. It's one thing when you go on the freeway, you know, right? And you're going to the San Fernando Valley, God bless where I was born. But in Sonoma County, and I heard somebody the other day kind of complaining about how in the Sebastopol area, some part of the road had been really painted and designated cycling. And I didn't even have to say a word. Somebody else turned to them and said, listen, those cycling roads are what are preserving our agricultural land in part, right? Mm-hmm. Because we want people to be able to drive, but we want to be able to walk and amble. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Hiking is just not the right word. We want to be able to wander through the countryside, right? With our friends and family.
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking to Gerard and we're talking to Sherry and we're talking Paella and we're talking Grand Fondo and we're talking Sonoma Vita, as in the life of Sonoma.
Absolutely.
So tell us about the exact time, details, all of it.
Great. So Gerard's Paella Festival and Cook-Off, this is the first annual.
Right.
We'd like to actually do a bigger one next year, but we were invited from the Sonoma Vita team to be part of the Sunday activities. So we'll kick off at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Tasting will start at noon, so it'll go from noon to 2:50, and at 3 p.m. we'll actually announce our winners.
All right. And you have eight different teams.
We do.
Competing.
We do.
Can you tell us a little bit about those guys?
Absolutely. We have everyone from professional chefs, so the team, so the Stark Restaurants, Bravas.
Yeah, wow. They're making everybody nervous, by the way.
Yeah, they're executive chefs.
Well, they're kind of jumpy to begin with, so that's fine.
There you go. But I think they're going to do some fun things.
Yeah.
David Zimmerman is their executive chef de cuisine, and he's all on board.
All right.
We have another gentleman, Will, who's coming down. He's trained by Hubert Keller, I believe.
All right, which is one. Hubert is one of my favorite chefs forever. He had a restaurant in San Francisco for many years that just closed recently.
In Vegas.
Yeah. Called Fleur de Lis, and I actually brought him to Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
And while his restaurant there was being built, which took forever, all kinds of stuff, suddenly this other project that we were working on in the property had the talent fallout. So the developer, the owner said, well, what do you think we should do? I said, let's get Hubert to do Burger Bar. And I mean, because he's got a general manager from France, the man can cook anything. And so they agreed to do it. And then one day I get a call from Hubert Carroll. Clark, what? It says mad cow disease on the New York Times. What do I do in Burger Bar? What do I do? And I said, chef, in a world of mad cow, who better to get a burger from than a French chef with all those stars? And for a while there, and then one day he said, I need some attention. I have to do something special. I said, why don't you do a $5,000 hamburger? He said, what's that? I said, I don't know. I said, but make it for two. Make sure there's a bottle of champagne with it and etched glasses that they get to keep. You know, and they've been selling a couple of those a week or a month ever since. Yeah,
great.
He's a wonderful cook. So,
absolutely.
So there's some real training behind these guys.
So a couple, again, professionals. Then we have a group, Kenwood Yacht Club, which is John Cleary from Cleary Ranch Vineyards. Gerard said there are a bunch of guys that like to go kayak.
Oh, no, that's the other guys, the Kayak Jack and those guys, yeah.
Oh, well, I talked to John this morning. He was just fly fishing up north, so
he has a good time.
We have Raymond.
Wait a second. I'm expecting a lot of cooks in high boot waiters.
Maybe. We'll see. We have Raymond Wine Cellars.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Paul Smith, their chef, is going to be there. We have Toro Del Mar, and
that's Kayak Jack and all of his pals from all over the country that love to kayak fish, and they love making paella on the beach because I catered to one of their events once, so he's all on board now.
I mean, I love that, and the point is, so you taught him how easy it was, and then he stopped hiring you. That's not good.
Well, it happens.
That's fine.
It's all
actually,
good.
He has part of his team, a gentleman's coming down from the state of Washington.
Yeah.
His
and
son's
Montana.
Coming from Montana. They're all scheming. They all have their little secret things.
Everybody's
going on
got
now.
A secret apparently in this recipe cook-off.
I love that so much.
Then we have actually the Flying Pucks Paella, that team from Len Bertacco. Petacco
Wieners.
Oh, yeah. Flying Puck. That's
so they'll be
a little
there.
Chewier. Okay.
The Swampers, which are J.T. Martin, and I don't know their backstory, but
yeah, so they're from Louisiana, and a couple guys getting together, and they're doing it, and they're making it. They're called the Swampers, and they're doing a Cajun version style of paella. It was swamp dust. They won't tell us what it is.
Well, you know, it could be andouille sausage. I mean, I was very fortunate to work in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge, which is the right way to say it. And they took me. The couple of guys took me to Henderson, which and by the side of the road in an aluminum something called a building. Believe me, it was really close to being a building, not quite. They were making andouille. You know, and tasso, the smoked and peppery ham and all the rest of that. Nice. And those things are used as ingredients. They are secret ingredients. A little bit of that goes a whole long way. I remember the first time I brought some to New York, and a famous New York chef said, "Oh, I've heard about this. This is good." And he chomped down on it. And then we called the fire department. Anyway, all right. And our last minute,
Our last team is Team Metro Chamberlicious. So Santa Rosa Metro Chamber, I love them. They're coming together. So Peter Rumble, who's the new CEO.
Oh, wow.
And Janet Rogers. And they actually, you know, spoiler alert, we gave them a little paella session at Gerard's house earlier this week.
They're allowed.
But they're totally, everyone's into it.
Listen, anybody in municipal transportation that's willing to continue to learn gets my vote. Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about your paella life in Sonoma County and all over the world and what you're doing indoors. Because, you know, folks, everybody with a food truck really wants a restaurant. Yep. When we come back right here at the table. Welcome back to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm here with Sherry Huss. And her husband, is that right?
No,
business friends. Partner, friends,
yeah.
Pals.
Yeah.
All right. Matching, you know, complimentary wardrobes.
Yeah, there you go. And gray hair.
And gray, silver hair. We call that, we actually try to call it. And Jerry Nebeski.
Gerard, yeah.
Gerard Nebeski. You say it Nebeski?
Nebeski. Yeah.
Nebeski.
Yeah.
Gerard Nebeski, right? It's Polish. No.
Czech.
Check. All right, I was close. All right. I knew there was a sausage involved. Gerard, first of all, how did you get it? How did you start in Sonoma County? I mean, you started out there on the street.
I moved here from Nevada, and my sister was living in Sonoma County already, and I came here to visit her, and started a restaurant a long time ago called the Bohemian Cafe out in Occidental.
Sure.
And after 11-year run, did a bunch of other stuff afterwards, and then started going to Spain a lot, and that's how the paella thing started for me. And now we have brick and mortar here as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about that in a second. Sherry, how did you get involved with Gerard?
You know, my husband and I moved to Occidental, met Gerard.
And by the way, if you're listening and you've never been to Occidental, just stop listening to me right now and go to Occidental. It's this wonderful little town, kind of in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, but there's some incredibly sophisticated people there. There's a lot of arts. There's a lot of community. It's very sweet. It used to be called Hippie Dippy. It's hippie, but it ain't dippy. And the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center is a hotspot of biology for all the world. It's one of the 8 or 10 hotspots of biodiversity in the world, in anywhere.
Yeah, that master gardener. Who's that? Brock Dolman. And who's the master gardener up there?
I like to call him Phil.
He's amazing.
They're amazing people there. Yeah. And what happens in Occidental emanates. And that Friday night in-season farmer's market has become legendary, right,
yeah,
Sherry?
Actually, yeah, actually, I've been involved in that, too.
Yeah.
I hooked up with Gerard. My background was in events. We moved here, and then I had co-founded Maker Faire.
Very nice to meet
you.
And
food.
I knew I liked you.
Food for me has always been, you know, the most basic thing that people can make. But with Gerard, with doing some events, I did an event, Dwell on Design, the first design event.
Wonderful.
For Michaela. And then we started Maker Faire, and I needed to feed makers and exhibitors. So that's when Gerard came in. And actually, it even started probably with Occidental Harvest Market Festival, which we started.
Yeah.
Right.
And we did kind of a geeked out haunted house, and Gerard started cooking there. So we started working together and collaborating, but with the Maker food, I can tell you there's nothing better that feeds so many people and that says, you know, we love you, we like what you're doing, as well as Gerard's there cooking while they're setting up during the day. So he is a food maker. And that's how we connected.
And they're an everything else maker.
Absolutely. Right. And I have to say, when I go see, like, to Maker Faire Paris, you know, they bring in France, they bring in paella. It's become now the Friday night maker tradition. So,
well, and in Sonoma County, it's particularly apt because so many of the things, maybe not shrimp, but so many of the things that are in a paella are so special here. I mean, right. When you put chicken into a big pan and it comes from Sonoma County, preferably some near Petaluma, mm-hmm. near Petaluma,
sure.
Petaluma adjacent, yeah. right? Or any of the other things. I mean, we have so many wonderful things off our coast.
Very accessible.
And all over our yeah. countryside, right?
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So then you decided to partner.
We did. And so, you know, I would then say, Gerard, how do we feed 3,000 people in like, you know, 60 minutes? And he's like, ah. And so we kept just working, collaborating over the years. So it became a natural, and that's a whole other story because Gerard has a 10-foot paella pan on wheels, which he can tell you about.
He does, doesn't he?
He does.
Yes.
So, but anyway, we Gerard decided that he wanted to launch a flagship restaurant here and kind of build it out. And actually, even with the fires last year here, I started feeling like I know a lot about every other place in the world, but I live in a most wonderful place, and it's really time to start focusing on Sonoma County. So. Helping so, Gerard
and you know
business.
And what I love is really kind of apt for this time, you know. Yeah. I've been working with restaurants as a consultant for many years.
Yeah.
And the idea that something would be a restaurant would be based on one basic dish, one central dish that was highly complex and highly diverse and highly delicious but doable for somebody, you know, and a whole meal for lots of different people makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's not the kind of thing. I mean, you can do paella at home, but it's better if Gerard does it for 100. Right, and where exactly is
plus
the
we made it accessible. Paella normally it's a dish you got to order in advance for $45 for two people and all that stuff.
Right.
We're making it in 6 minutes. We're par cooking the rice almost all the way, and then we're shutting the burner off, and then we're putting it in smaller pans and putting all the proteins, the stock, everything in, and then firing it in the oven.
Yeah,
so
but,
you
you also can find and purchase all those goods so that you have a quantity of all the things you need to make it delicious.
For sure.
Which if you do it at home can be pretty complicated, mm-hmm. right? And there's cross contamination and mm-hmm. you know, the yeah. kids running in and out of the kitchen. It's a mess. All right. Well, we're talking to Sherry and Gerard, and we're talking paella. Let's go back a little bit to what's happening on Sunday. Now the Sonoma Vida is all weekend.
It is. It starts today, and then I think tonight people are picking up their packets, and there'll be bands and different things on the square. Tomorrow will be a big day where there'll be music. The riders will be coming in from the ride. They'll be eating paella. There's a wine and beer festival going on.
Wine and beer in Sonoma County. What a surprise. And by the way, let me just correct. We're recording this now, and it'll be played at noon on Saturday. So when she says tonight, she means last night. And I often do, too. You know, that's just kind of how
good
that
point.
Works. All right.
Okay.
So it's exactly. All right. So Friday night is dinners and beer.
Dinners,
and wine.
People getting together. Saturday it'll be music, riders riding, people coming in. There's a VIP tent. There's a wine and beer tent. There's a whole beer area as well. So it'll be just a big celebration on the square. And then Sunday we transition over to the paella festival and cook-off.
All right. So I'm going to come to the cook-off, and we're going to do some tasting and judging.
Yep. Absolutely.
What are the basic elements of a paella that make it a good paella other than, this is good?
The stock, the rice, the spices, the saffron, of course. Depending on how well-versed you are in paella cooking, but the socarrat on the bottom, the crusty rice, is kind of what everybody goes for.
All right. So
that's kind of the go-to of the dish.
All right. So you're looking for the crusty rice at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You're looking for a stock that has depth
just
and range
depth it, yeah.
and real flavor to it, but
yeah.
not too heavy,
right.
but not too thin,
mm-hmm.
right? And what about the cooked level of each of the different ingredients?
It's not like a risotto. It's not really a gloppy dish at all. The rice does fall apart. And
like
you can taste individual flavors of everything that's in the dish. Even though there's a lot of stuff in there, it's really amazing to taste separate.
So is it one of those things where you make, obviously you make the stock and you do the rice and you do mm-hmm. all those other
yeah.
things. And depending on what you're doing, do you add each of those elements one after another so that they're timed right, so
yeah,
that
exactly.
you don't overcook
yeah.
the shrimp
right.
and you don't
exactly.
undercook the chicken?
Yeah.
Because that's not a good combo.
Right, exactly.
All right. And do you give classes ever?
We used to give classes at Relish Culinary School, and we'll probably do it again soon, but we've got so many pokers and so many fires right now, we can't seem to...
We don't say pokers and we don't say fires, all right?
You know, not in October, sorry.
No, bad call. Not every. Anyway, all right. So Sunday afternoon, people could come to the old Courthouse Square, which mm-hmm. is really the new Courthouse Square, right?
That's
true. The newly
yep.
rediscovered in downtown Santa Rosa. There's plenty of parking to the periphery. I always encourage people to park and walk. There's lots of public parking facilities.
Garages
and lots, and they're very inexpensive. And on the weekend,
Sunday's free.
It's
a bonus.
I love that. Another T-shirt. Sunday's free. and go for a walk through downtown. If you have not been in downtown Sonoma County, Santa Rosa, for a while. You really should. You really should.
Oh, some great new restaurants, great scene
and,
happening.
And also talk to people, folks. Say howdy. Mm-hmm. Find out where they're from. You know, what, one of the things that's great about Sonoma County is that we visit each other like crazy. You know, I'm going on an outing. I'm going to Sonoma, the town. And yeah. I live in a 100-year-old logger's cabin in the Redwoods in northwestern Sonoma by the Russian River. So for me to go to Sonoma, the town, takes actually sometimes longer than to go to San Francisco.
You know, it's part of the beauty of that restaurant we have as well is paella being that social dish with the tapas. I mean, people are actually sitting close to each other. They're actually sharing dishes there. The restaurant's very social that way.
Well, you know, and that's not a California thing. It's interesting. Right. I live in New York part of the time, as you probably know. And New Yorkers only have to be about 2 fists apart between tables. And that's at a high-end restaurant.
Right.
In California, if you know, if there's not a zip code between us, if there's not 3 parking spaces,
right, yeah.
Right, we feel like we've been cheated.
Right.
But little by little and more, communal tables and communal eating really started, I think, in the vineyards, started with all these wonderful at the farm, at the vineyard
sure,
dinners, yeah. Have brought us together at the table. And, well, you know, I kind of named the show that way, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about good food, when you're talking about good cooks, when you're talking about people who care about the community and want to build a community and want to build businesses for all different kinds of people, especially makers, we love those makers,
absolutely.
Then you really want to be exactly where we'll be after these messages right back here at the table.
Yep.
Welcome back to At the Table. I'm here with Sherry Huss and Gerard Nebeski.
Nebeski.
I said it right.
You got it.
My Czech accent is perfect. and we're talking one of my favorite foods, paella. The traditional ingredients in paella are pretty diverse, right? We want rice, of course, and we want that great stock. The stock is usually a seafood stock.
Seafood, yeah. Mostly seafood or chicken, yeah.
Or chicken stock. Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. So you can have it for Passover.
Or for rabbit chorizo paella.
You know, rabbit, I mean, my goodness, you know, it's one of the great, I mean, one of the things we were always looking at every time there's an economic crash, mm-hmm. right? That's when rabbit becomes popular because it's very inexpensive and they multiply like rabbits, yeah. but you have that stock and then the other elements that have to be there. Saffron, you said, of course, in the last segment. Well, not of course.
Saffron, regardless whether it's paella or not, there's also feijoa. You know, it's paella, but without rice, it's noodles. It's a little small pasta noodle.
Right.
That still gets saffron as well.
All right. So saffron, for people who don't know, I had the great pleasure of touring Spain and going to a lot of the food makers, mm-hmm. benchmark food makers. I went to Baena for olive oil, and I went to Murcia and Alicante, and I learned how to say that. And I had nougat, the almond, you know, that wonderful
yeah.
nougat that's so delicious. But I got in an old Edwardian house in the hills above Barcelona. I got to be in a saffron lab. And there, it was pristine, it was beautiful. The trees outside, lots of light, absolutely clean. Very lab-like. And there were all these beautiful little flowers where just the pestle, is that what, right? Is pulled and it's just those little stems.
That's it.
That make it up and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it has
tedious.
It's tedious and it cannot be done by machine.
No.
We hope. And more important, it imparts what, in your mind, what is the flavor of saffron?
What is the flavor?
Yeah.
Well, it's a flavor that has like no boundaries. It's like truffles. It's like it really dominates a dish.
Yeah.
Even though it's subtle, it dominates the dish.
It's this whole other reality, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Once saffron is there, I don't even know how to describe it because
right.
it's almost like a feeling
mm-hmm.
when saffron is in a dish, and if you do it too much, it weighs down the dish.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it just right, it elevates the dish. I mean, you know, historically, garlic, for example, was always used to elevate, like lemon, to elevate the flavor in a dish, not to dominate it,
mm-hmm.
right? It was only in America when the Italian immigrants said, oh, I know that flavor. Let's have more, right?
Mm-hmm.
That these heavily garlic dishes became popular.
I found that a lot of people here don't like strong saffron flavor. In fact, they prefer spice in the paella, and often they'll think that it's missing something if it's not spicy. The palate here is a lot different than it is in Spain.
That's absolutely true. In fact, if you just have Italian cured olives and French cured olives and Spanish cured olives, 3 different critters,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the Italian, they have that tang to them. The French like something buttery and mm-hmm. subtle. And the Spanish, it's almost more vegetal.
Mm-hmm. I think the Spaniards kind of saved their spice for talking soccer scores and politics.
And for later at night. Right? Well, now exactly where is Gerard's new paella y tapas?
4th and D Streets, right downtown, the old Aragonese Delicatessen.
Okay, great.
And it's been transformed into a tapas restaurant. We have Spanish chairs, tiles, everything Spanish in there. It's fantastic. It's really good.
And if you've ever been to Spain, you know that the Spanish tiles in Spain are from Morocco. Just
exactly.
Like the paella,
yeah.
Right? They're those wonderful painted stuff, uh-huh. And they're kind of like concrete, but it's really clay.
Yeah.
You know, that 601, and they're painted, and they go over, and they're hard as rocks.
Yep.
And you know what we say about olive oil in a Moroccan restaurant? If you drop it, it broke.
Oh, yeah.
Right? How many seats?
About 73 now.
All right, the classic number for a kind of a personal mom-and-pop restaurant. Mm-hmm. And when are you open?
11 to 9 daily, and then till 10 on weekends.
All right, so that's is there a place where you can eat by yourself? Like, for example, and so you can have some. I mean, you know, in Spain, people don't understand that tapas is not small plates.
Right,
that's another thing entirely. Right, tapas are what?
Any kind of things you can share. We have tapas and pinchos. We have things via toothpick and things on a plate.
All right. Have you ever been to Buenos Aires?
Been close.
All right, close.
We did a paella at Mount Aconcagua.
All right, so really close. Yeah, but it's not the same. No, I'm sorry. You know, you can't sing "Don't Cry for Me." No. If you've ever been to Buenos Aires, they when they serve cocktails. Have you been to Buenos Aires? Would you guys like to go after the show?
Sure. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. I think the new transit bus, because you know he knows all about paella. You know, transit in Sonoma County now goes directly to Buenos Aires.
No.
Anyway, I was there, and if you sit in any of the wonderful outdoor cafes and bars that they have there, you can order a cocktail by itself or con picón or con ingredientes. In other words, if you're by yourself, you get a little aluminum, is really very post-World War II, aluminum tray with maybe olives and little cubes of cheese, mm-hmm. and this other thing that turned out to be smoked tripe. Yikes, but it was delicious. And if there's two of you, you get a little bit bigger tray. And if there's four of you, get a bigger tray. You know what I mean? So it's stuff. It's nibbles to go with your cocktail. And you can either order the cocktail by itself or with nibbles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a tapas bar, whether it be there or any other of the Latin countries in the world that embrace those things, tapas is actually something you do with a cocktail or a glass of sherry, really.
Right.
Before you go out to dinner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so how
or
how
the next bar. You go to a series of bars and then you go to dinner, yeah.
Or you just keep going to bar after bar.
It's amazing, yeah.
And you have foods that you never thought were possible. I mean, I remember
a
little tiny kind of dry but chewy and delicious roasted turkey. I remember, again, sometimes it'll be an olive, but sometimes there's something stuffed into the olive. I mean, there are all these different bits and pieces because, you know, those are countries that have been through a lot over the millennia, and they don't waste, do they?
Yeah. No, not at all. It's great. The food scene's amazing.
So how does the tapas at Gerard's go with the paella? How is that balanced?
How do they go with the paella? Well, there are a lot of classic Spanish tapas we have. We have tortilla espanola, we have piquillo peppers, we have pan con tomate, and we have a lot of the classic Spanish tapas. It's been nice because a lot of people here don't know what tapas are. Some people are afraid of the menu a little bit too. They need education on the menu.
James Beard, the late wonderful James Beard, had an assistant whose name was Emily Gilder. I mean, who could make that up, right? She used to live on Washington Square Park above those horrible liberals, the Roosevelts. Anyway, that's another story. But yeah, and James Beard once said to her, I'm going to a tapas restaurant. And she was totally abashed because she thought he said topless. Yeah. Right. So go to Gerard's and have a topless and then some paella and have a wonderful time. When we come back, we're going to talk about, I don't know, what a paella brunch might be. Because, you know, this is the land of let's go at 11 o'clock on Sunday with a bottle of something bubbly. And we're going to talk about other foods. I mean, you very quickly went over some of those classic tapas dishes. But I think it's important to talk about those things because a lot of those things we're now growing and making here in Sonoma County and in farm country all over the country. And we're discovering them one by one. So first you have this very clear experience of a piquillo pepper. After which you have paella, which is this amalgamation of all things attacked by saffron, right here at the table. We're back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf. I'm here with Gerard Nebeski and Sherry Huss. We're talking paella. Sherry, first off, give us the website for this weekend's events that started last night. We're recording this on Friday, but it's going to play on Saturday. And go all the way through Sunday afternoon, Absolutely. Evening.
That's right, till 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay.
So the website is Sonoma Vita, V-I-T-A. So SonomaVita.com.
Right.
You'll see a schedule of everything that's happening all weekend. And if you go to at events, the last one on that page is Gerard's Paella Festival.
Yeah, I saw that. And now, if you want to participate, I mean, if you want to come and eat.
Yes.
Is there a fee?
There is. In advance, it's $20. And on site, it's $25. There'll be a table set up in our area.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a great bargain. And you're also just, you know, supporting local folks. And we're actually hoping to make this into a bigger festival in the spring.
Well, that's the way to do it. I mean, you know, in Sonoma County, you start by inviting a few folks. And then the next thing you know, you're back at your truck. Anyway, speaking of which, you know, yes. So many people who have had restaurants then got involved in the food truck thing. You have a 10-foot paella pan. Is that true? Is that just a rumor?
No, we use it. And we actually use it for the Maker Faire. We actually built the pan for Maker Faire and for the first Fondo, because the first Fondo, we were the only food vendor.
Yeah.
And we fed everybody at once on right. the first Fondo that came in. And that's when it was like 8,000 riders.
Yeah.
So we had to feed all those guys quickly.
That's a lot of saffron. Now, tell us exactly what's the website and what's the address of the restaurant?
The restaurant, absolutely. The website is gerardspaella.com.
But that's straightforward. I mean, I'm clarkwolfcompany.com because I have to be able to remember it, right? I mean, double letters, no E's, spell it out, right?
That's right. And the restaurant is on the corner of 4th and D Street,
right.
And it's a 4th Street address.
All right. Now, Sherry, yes. I always ask this question.
Yes.
Where are you from originally?
I am from Elyria, Ohio.
Oh, all right. And how long have you been in Sonoma County?
I've been in Sonoma County since 1999.
That's when I'm originally, even though I talk this way, I'm originally from California.
Ah.
I moved to San Francisco in the 70s, lived there a decade, and then moved to New York in the 80s. And then in 99, I was hungry because, quite frankly, the food in the rest of the country is good and well-cooked, but it tastes better here, right? Gerard, where are you from originally?
Nevada and Australia.
They're yeah. They're right next to each other.
I lived in Czechia briefly as well, but I went to high school in Australia.
Where?
Sydney.
You know, I had the great fortune of visiting all of Australia for a couple of weeks back a few years, and I did the whole eastern coast, folks. Mm-hmm. That's like our west coast, mm-hmm. really.
Right.
And I was all the way from...
Cairns?
Right near there.
Yeah.
And there's
Port Townsend.
That's it. Port Townsend. I was going to visit all the casinos because the off track betting company suddenly by law got all the casinos, and they were all these guys who knew of technology. They didn't know anything about casinos. So I went to all the different casinos because I'd been working a lot in Las Vegas, which is also in Nevada. Who knew? And I tried to explain to them why those restaurants were there and what the next iterations might be. And in the meantime, I got to visit all these places, and I went to Melbourne and Brisbane and
Coffs Harbor, Byron Bay.
No, I went to Gold Coast, where you yep. can never put your foot into the water because something will bite it off. I mean, there are
jellyfish, everything,
yeah. and sharks yeah. and chickens and ducks. They'll just eat you. and then I got to go to Sydney, and it was really a wonderful experience because they really do. Interestingly, there's a real connection between Northern California and all of
100%,
Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, Melbourne to me was a lot like Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Not that easy to get to, not as glitzy, mm-hmm. not as evident, but boy, the food's good. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Some of the best Spanish food I've ever had. Some of the best tapas I've ever had was in Melbourne.
Wow.
If you want to go to the Midwest, go to Brisbane. Plenty of free parking and a howdy and shut up. And then if you want to go to LA meets the south of France, meets Miami with too much beer, you go to Sydney. I mean, it's a very beautiful place, but it's what's the word? Nuts. In a good way, right? And so going to all those places and then being in Nevada, and then you lived in Czechoslovakia?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Just outside of Prague.
All right.
A little town called Bžežnice.
Oh, all right. Out of Prague. I was in Prague 2 weeks before the revolution and with a friend who was, her background was that, and we wanted to be there for her 40th birthday. And we stayed in a place where there were bugs underneath our beds, and it's not the kind that crawl around. You know what I mean? And people were following us in the street. We couldn't figure it out. We had leather shoes, right? And they had plastic shoes, right? But Czechoslovakia and Prague is a beautiful place.
Beautiful.
So you come from a lot of really beautiful places. What brought you to Northern California?
My sister was living here, and I was into graphics, and I was going to be going to open a graphic studio in San Francisco.
So you can make these t-shirts for us. That's
exactly.
Good, all right. So you're going to open a graphics thing in San Francisco.
And she was living in Occidental, and there was a vacant restaurant there, and she said, hey, you should try a restaurant here. And I want to do something, so I thought, I'll give it a hat.
Wait, had you ever been in the restaurant business before?
No.
All right, yeah. Folks, don't do this.
But graphics and food kind of go hand in hand,
I think. Because you can always eat your t-shirt. You know, things don't work. No. Actually, visuals and food do go together.
That's part of what paella is so amazing is you can arrange the whole dish. I mean, it's really a feast for the eyes, too.
You know, that's another thing that you should think about. I mean, one of the reasons that I think the graphics are so important in a restaurant is it tells you a whole lot about who's inside, mm-hmm. right? If they're random or if they feel disconnected, that's what's going to happen, right? And if they're really in concert and really focused, then you can pretty much assume that that's the experience you're going to have, which is not always one I want in a restaurant. It is amazing. I did some graphics in the middle 80s when I was first working in New York City. I did kind of a sample of a menu, right? Using colored marking pens that we did something weird with. It was called Color Xerox. Remember that? And I said, now we should take this to a graphic artist. And the owner said, nah, this is perfect. We'll just copy it. And for 6 months, I hand wrote the menu every single day for Arizona 206. And it's a wonderful thing to understand the connection. All right, when we come back, we'll have our last few moments with Sherry and Gerard and a really big, delicious pan of paella right here at the table. We are back at the table, and we are with the paella king and queen, princess and prince, I don't know. Gerard, tell us about this weekend's events and how to find out. And Sherry, tell us about the restaurant and how to find out.
The weekend's events are going to occupy the square in Santa Rosa, and it's going to be the Levi's bike tour on Saturday and then the paella cook-off and foot race on Sunday. And it's part of the Sonoma Vita program, sonomavita.com, V-I-T-A. And it's just a big event that's going to be downtown. It was homegrown. It started off at Finley Center a few years ago.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Now it's going to come downtown for the first time.
Well, I think the more that happens downtown in a community, the better it is for the town, mm-hmm. right? And for everybody visiting. Plus, you know, on a weekend, people tend to come to Sonoma County and go into the countryside. Frankly, going into the towns is a good idea, especially while we're in the midst of harvest. Folks, those big trucks aren't kidding. They are really, you know, some of them in the springtime and in the summer, sometimes they're filled with gravel. Right now, they're filled with grapes. But they're still 18-wheelers, and they're dangerous. So be careful, or come to downtown, park your car, go for a walk, and come to, first of all, the paella cook-off. And then, you know, if you need some extra tapas, Sherry, where do they go?
Actually, go to Gerard's Paella Tapas, 4th and D Street. And for more information, you can go to our website, www.gerardspaella.com.
All right. And will there be special events at the restaurant? I mean, you know, it's a special event kind of a thing. When you go for a paella, it feels like a special event. But traditionally, restaurants tend to have things, particularly in the holidays. I mean, is there going to be turkey in this paella pan later this year?
Nope.
No. That was pretty definitive, wasn't it, Sherry? I mean, no, we could write that down.
But actually, we have a wonderful drink program at the restaurant. And so things, in addition to the traditional sangrias, we have a port and tonic, which is just amazing.
Sounds like good.
Definitely try that out. We have a locally made shrub. We have
explain to people what a shrub is.
Let Gerard explain.
It's like what we have on tap right now is a rice vinegar based fermented lemon drink. It's like kombucha, but not as burpy.
Another T-shirt. Gerard's drinks like kombucha, but not as burpy.
We also have my nephew's beers on tap. He's opening a brewery around the park, and he's a fantastic brewer.
And what is it? What are they called?
Old Kaz Brewery.
Old Kaz Brewery.
Yeah, he's excellent. So
listen, Casadero has some amazing bakers and makers, right? Mm-hmm. In Guerneville, we have a wonderful ice cream maker.
That's right.
Finn and something or other.
That's right. Leandra.
Right. Yep. Really, really delicious flavors. Yep. In our last minute, what do you both hope will be the result of opening? Obviously, you want to be successful, but what's your thought? I mean, is this going to be a collection of paella restaurants across the world, or is it going to be home base for some other stuff, or do you just want to make a business?
No, we think we've got a lion by the tail. We think it's going to take off. I mean, we envision being in airports, being everywhere. We cook at music festivals right now, and we are the most popular food vendor at every festival we go to. We literally serve thousands a day.
All right, so when you're stuck at an airport, mm-hmm. somewhere down the road, folks, and Delta doesn't even want to talk to you, with any luck, you'll be able to look over and smell the saffron. Wake up and smell the saffron. And Gerard and Sherry will be opening up new opportunities to dive into the pan. Listen.
And you want to skip your scheduled flight.
It happens a lot. All right. Thank you so much for being with us. And we will see you this weekend at your table.
Thanks, Clark.
Thank you.